staple a flag to your ass and mail you to Iran.
Welcome to episode 84 of the Thrash Report. This is for April 26th, 2022. My name is Chris. Welcome to the show. This is your weekly music commentary podcast. We discuss all things metal and heavy music. Joining me, my co-host, my partner in crime, Jim Osborne. Jim, what's going on, buddy?
Don't tell people we're criminals. That's how you get busted.
Oh.
I'm doing well. I'm doing very good. And I'm very happy to say I have my friend and my cousin here with us tonight, Mr. Brett Schomburg. How you doing?
Doing awesome. How are you?
Welcome. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Excellent. Yeah. It's always nice to have another metalhead.
Born and bred.
Name those lyrics. Who sang that?
I don't know.
And bred a metalhead.
Oh, dude. You're too funny.
Like the intro track.
You're quick. You're quick.
That was hell yeah.
Ah, hell yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What's up, Jake? What's up, Tommy? We got people joining us in the chat live.
Nice.
To you.
Welcome.
I think Jake is getting excited for Dimestock.
Yeah, you know what? We're all getting excited for Dimestock. It's going to be a heck of a good time.
For sure. Shit, while we're at it, we got Squidhammer is having a release on Thursday's Corridor of Covers on Liquid Metal. Their new cover of Yesterday Don't Mean Shit will be on.
That's awesome. Congrats, man. That's great.
Yeah. Yep, looking forward to hearing that.
I always get a kick out of Facebook Live because it does the live captioning, and hearing us with our crazy vocabulary is just hilarious. Dude, so we got some headlines, and one I'm really excited about. I'm going to go buy all of the things, and we'll talk about it. And then a couple new releases, and we're going to go back to 1989 and are back in the day, and it was a good one. When this one came up, I was like, oh yeah, that brings me back, you know, remember where I was. We also have a new concert announcement that will be fun to go through. Don't forget, Jim's gonna trip you up with some awesome trivia, and perhaps it's good. Awesome, dude. Let's go. Yeah, so first of all, We gotta haze the guest. Brett, yeah. Who are you and what do you do here?
Who am I? Well, I'm just a normal metalhead like every other guy. Well, the cool guys anyway.
Right on.
My name's Brett Schomburg, live in New Prague, Minnesota, and teach guitar and just love metal beyond belief. Always have, always will.
Yeah, we've been to our fair share of shows together.
Yep. No matter what my parents told me and hoped that I would never turn into one, I still did.
Yep, we're good people.
Brett, you're going to be antisocial. You won't fit in. Sorry, Mom.
Antisocial, Anthrax, good tune. Good job, Mom.
So how, we kind of talking this off the air, but you know, one of the questions we do ask all of our guests is, you know, how did you get into metal?
I think it was probably, well, I know it was early 80s. We got MTV, and I, you know, like most kids back then, you were just infatuated with it. And on Saturday nights, Headbangers Ball started, and I think it was Ricky Rackman was the host, and it just blew my mind, you know, all this heavy music that I'd never heard. I just thought it was so cool. And I was like, that's what I want to do when I grow up. You know, it was just sweet. And then, back in the day when you used to walk into a record shop and look for your tapes or records or 8-tracks, whatever you're looking for, I saw Twisted Sister on Headbangers Ball, and that album Stay Hungry, and man, I picked that up, and my mom saw the cover of it, him chewing on that raw bone, and I'm like, this is cool. This is just so cool. So I just fell in love with it from there on and just couldn't get enough of it.
That's great.
It hooks you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are your guitar lessons going?
Good. It's, you know, I'm infiltrating the minds of the youth in the local neighborhoods. So
right on. That's
trying
great.
To ruin a few of them.
I think it's great. I think it's great. Not only just, you know, I am a fan of being, you know, a good educator, something that really inspires the mind of the learner. Right. I mean, to this day, there are those certain teachers throughout my, you know, especially high school. I remember one of my middle school science teachers really made an influence on me. So education is just really cool. So being the fact that you get to help educate and teach guitar to young ones, I think it's great. It's like you're helping them and you're also kind of spreading the good word of metal.
Yeah. It's, you know, obviously you can't go jump right into heavy metal with young kids, but it's, they obviously pick up what I like and, you know, they're kind of like, whoa, that's loud and it's aggressive. And how about we stick with acoustic for now? And I'm like, going right to electric. Come on. So I try and push them to, because for some reason parents always think that you got to start with electric or acoustic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are, you know, well, shouldn't it all be classical based? And I'm like, no, that's, you can go right to electric. It's actually for young kids, it's actually a lot easier. Because the shape of the neck and the, you know, the string, you know, sure. Distance. And so, and it's, I think the funnest thing is to see, you know, a young kid, you know, trying to do these chords on an acoustic and then they pick up an electric and I just show them one power chord and they're just like, oh my God, what was that? And I'm like, that's rock and roll, buddy.
That's awesome.
It's just so fun to see their face just like, wow, my mind is blown.
That's great.
Like, get used to it.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very cool. Nice. Do you that? Are you doing stuff in person? You do it on Zoom or Skype or how do you do it?
I've tried some online and it goes fine, but it's just a lot better in person just to kind of, you know, be up, you know, and see exactly what they're doing up close.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Do you have any capacity or taking new students now or not?
Yeah, definitely.
Great. We'll make sure we have links and all that in our show notes.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
So besides Twisted Sister and bands of the like, getting you started, what have been your favorite bands over the years? Who are the people you keep going back to?
Oh, well, I remember after Twisted Sister, a good friend of mine introduced me to Metallica, and that kind of opened the floodgates for kind of the heavier stuff. I mean, Twisted Sister was heavy, but, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Metallica and Megadeth and you know, then I got into Testament and, you know, that was a little dark for back then, but still awesome. And, always loved Van Halen. Currently I love Mastodon. And I've always been a huge fan of Iron Maiden too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Just, you know, the big names.
Yep. And knowing Chris and knowing you, just, I knew that you guys would get along. So it was cool. And we all met up for the metal tour this summer last September.
That's right.
Yeah. That was a good concert.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you remember when we went to that show? That was the first time I had a robot service our food. You remember that?
Yes.
We went to eat beforehand. And for those of you listening, we went to eat at Sawadee's, a Thai food downtown Minneapolis. And I don't know if it was just labor shortage or COVID or what, but yeah, they had this like robot come out with its food, with the food. It was the first time I'd seen that. And it was a blast.
Yeah. And then they showed it on the news.
Yeah.
Yep. On Channel 9, KMSP. That was cool.
Yeah, speaking of the metal tour of the summer, they're doing their second leg now. And I think by now, almost all of us have seen that video of Dave Mustaine sneaking into the stadium and handing out picks to those kids.
Yeah, dude, yep. That was so great.
Yeah,
that was cool. He's got his hood pulled up, you know.
Yep.
He's just like, shh, don't tell your parents.
That's so cool, dude.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Like, can you imagine, like you're there and like you got your kid next to you and he's like turned around and all of a sudden you like look behind you and it's freaking Mustaine. You're like, what?
Yeah, that's cool. You know, it tells you a lot about him.
Yeah, and it looked like some of the kids, you know, they were really young, but it looked like they knew who he was. And maybe if there was someone that didn't, they would see him later and say, holy shit, that's a good game.
Well, it's funny, that one clip of him, the mom's just like totally oblivious. It's like, just turn around. Come on. Where's your parenting skills? Come on. And the kid's just like, yeah, give me another one.
There's come a stranger on. Giving your kids shit. What are you doing? Yes, that was a pretty cool headline. So why don't we jump into some other headlines here? Another goodie. It's funny, the Lamb of God logo was used in a Salem, Virginia Easter play. Someone had sent out invites to the play with the Lamb of God logo. And just hilarious because I have obviously no idea what they were doing. They just probably did a Google search for, I don't know if the play was probably called Lamb of God or something. It's obviously Easter related. So that popped up and funny.
I think it's great, dude. I think it's it's so good.
Yeah, I saw the awesome caption.
Seeing that logo on the invitation for the ticket yep. stub.
Yeah. And then
it just would be hilarious to see some of these like some metalhead show up for the
that
the,
would be good
concert or you know the play.
That would like, be good.
This isn't start what a, I wanted.
Start a mosh.
Yeah.
And the tagline on the meme said, "This is a motherfucking invasion." Yeah.
All more right. On that later,
so. Good stuff.
Yeah. So this next one. We all know this one. And this one, we seem to hear it everywhere in every commercial.
Yes.
Do we own the rights to it?
Absolutely not.
Shit. Been fun. Yeah, so as you said, we've heard it everywhere, but it is not free. In fact, that is the most or the highest cost music that you can purchase for your events or commercials, whatever. The typically most songs go from anywhere between 15,000 to 60,000 for their use, but this one, got a guess?
Six figures.
Yep.
Really?
50?
Halfway to seven. Half a million dollars.
No way.
That's a lot.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So you're watching a commercial for, I'm just trying to think of one. It could be like Ford Kitty or something, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of car commercials.
I know. Half a million bucks. Holy shit. It's yeah. like that song. It's just for them, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Well, did I tell you that? So my other, I don't know if I talked about it on this podcast. So my other podcast that I do, I was looking for royalty for music, but then I also, there was a band that we reviewed. Now I totally forgot the name. I'll add it in later. But the band had like this killer track. It was the band that releases everything with vocals and without. Remember that, Jim?
I do. I don't remember the name.
So anyway, I contacted them. So like they had like the email and stuff, and I emailed them saying, hey, I have this little thing and I was wondering if I could use this track, how much it would cost for me to buy the rights to use just that track, whatever. And they came back and said, you'd have to go through management, whatever. And so then I found like a site where they had the song available, right? So like an audio, basically like an audio library, right? So they had a bunch of tunes, and they actually had this band's stuff. And you went through the subscription process, and the one time for that one track was like $6,000. That seems still pretty high just for little old me in my basement.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because it seems like, I don't know, man. Like if I was in a band and someone reached out to me saying, hey, can I use that track? Sure, man. Just let people know it's us or something. Yep. Exactly. That's me.
That's free advertising.
Yeah. I'd say, sure, use it for free. Just let people know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Half a million bucks. So we'll see if this gets taken down on Facebook.
That was me playing mouth guitar. That was not the actual song. Jumping over to Jason Newsted news. He was interviewed about the Black Album, and yeah, he was asked about his favorite track. He said, "Sad but True." He said that's the highlight of his whole project. And at first, he struggled with "Nothing Else Matters." He said it was undeniable, and he said it was he was kind of scared of it. And
like, you know, what do you mean? Like, what did he say? Like,
just how it was. He wanted crunch. He wanted heavy, and then they're going to do this slow, soft, Nothing Else Matters. So it's kind of intimidating for him, but he said that's the song that they sat and rehearsed together for like 70 takes. And he said that after a while, you're too close to it. And how much more delicate can I make it? And he said that Enter Sandman is kind of corny. Interesting. But yeah. I would disagree, but
yeah.
Well, corny or not, it put them on the motherfucking map.
Yep.
That's cool, dude. That's cool.
Yeah, and sticking with Metallica, moving over to James Hetfield, I saw today that he has released his signature strings from Ernie Ball.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to give them all of my money. So, yeah. His signature set, Papa Het's Hardwired Master Cores. I mean, you just have to own them. They sound so cool.
Yeah, I would definitely like to check them out, but I think they're going for $35 a set.
$35, geez.
Yeah, right?
Like gold plated or what?
So this says they've been developed over the past decade. That crazy?
Sounds like a good marketing scam.
Yeah, Ernie Ball has never before offered this 11 to 50 gauge combo. So those are some fat strings, bro.
11, 14, 18 penny, 28, 38, and 50. So the bottom three are for really chugging and long.
That's awesome, dude.
And Jake from Squidhammer says that he can't not break Ernie Balls every time he tries to use them, but he can always fix his pizza oven with them when he's done. No joke. He put a video up of his pizza oven broke and it was missing a connection, so he took old guitar strings and completed the circuit, and it worked again. Nice work,
Jake. That's awesome. That is so great. Dude, I totally missed that.
Oh, that's funny. I'm gonna start collecting all my old ones now.
Yep. All right, that does it for the news, unless you guys got anything else.
No, dude.
Oh, have you seen the I saw something on Facebook where it's this band, it's a bunch of younger guys. They take like Enter Sandman and they'll do covers of it if like Iron Maiden was to do it, or they nail it. I mean, it's good. It's, you know, they got like Iron Maiden, Slipknot, you know, and it's pretty cool. Here these guys, you know, take that kind of feel for that band and turn it to a song, you know, cover that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Check it out.
Very cool.
This episode's full of Metallica stuff, because now Kirk Hammett released Portals, his solo EP last Saturday at Record Store Day. But it's also available streaming everywhere.
Dude, it just kind of sounds like Kirk Hammett, though, doesn't it? Like, I mean, it sounds like something he would release.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for super shreddy, heavy, metallic stuff, this is not your EP.
Like the drum fills.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have. Like, it's definitely something where, like, if you're, you know, nose down, like, getting busy work done or something, have it on in the background. Totally.
Yep, but I said it's not heavy, but I do really like it. I enjoy it. I've probably listened to it 5 or 6 times, and it's got a really cool feel to it. So it's got 4 songs. It's 27 minutes long. Track list is Maiden and the Monster, The Djinn, High Plains Drifter, and The Incantation. And apparently there's a video for High Plains Drifter, which is said to be beautifully animated psychedelic tearjerker.
Hmm.
I've not seen it yet.
So Maiden and the Monster is good. I like that one.
Have to go with the
check it out.
There wasn't as much wah as I thought there would be. I thought it was gonna be all full of wah.
The every king time. Of wah.
I'm the wah part. Dude.
So you, so Brett,
yo,
you talked about a new single from a band I've never heard of. Why don't you go ahead and talk us a little bit about this? Who are these guys?
The band's called Haken. It's Haken. They've been coined as kind of the dream theater type prog metal band, and they're pretty cool. I've listened to all their albums, and they came out with a album called Virus right after COVID hit, and it's got some songs about that. It's pretty cool. And they had a new single that was released April 26th called Nightingale. And I think it's the kind of band that, you know, not everybody's gonna like them, but you know, I enjoy the bands that are kind of more technical. Really good guitar work.
Yeah, it looks like, formed in 2007, originally from London, England.
No perception of passing time.
Yep, I can definitely hear the technical vibe there, totally.
Yeah, kind of a lot of melody added in, but a lot of time changes and, you know, chunky guitar too.
It's like what John Petrucci said at the Grammys. They said, he said, this was in 17/8, so try to tap your foot to it.
That's awesome.
Super cool. Well, thanks, man. Yeah, we'll definitely make sure to add that into our playlist for sure.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And concerts. We last week spoke about the new Anthrax Black Label Society Hatebreed tour. But it was announced recently that those three bands will be headlining the Return of Tattoo the Earth Festival, which will be August 27th in Worcester, Mass. And it's
Did you say that right? I don't think you said that right.
Worcester.
Massachusetts.
Don't kill the Worcester.
Dude, you know, I was thinking, so I think I missed it. I think it was today. I can't remember. I don't know. My days blur together, bro. So I saw that Shiprocked, they have their podcast called Making Waves, and they like interview people and stuff like that. And Joey Belladonna was on the latest episode of Making Waves for Shiprocked. Dude, Wouldn't that be killer if Anthrax was on the Shiprock cruise when they announced that lineup? I was so hoping they were going to announce the lineup, but we haven't heard anything yet. That'd definitely be awesome.
Yeah, so this one isn't a tour like it was back in the early 2000s. It's just going to be one day over in Massachusetts at the Palladium.
Nice.
Not sure if they've released the lineup yet, but obviously these three. Oh, yep, here's the lineup. So, yep, so Anthrax, Black Label Society, Hatebreed, At the Gates, Municipal Waste, and Forced. That yep. sounds awesome.
Very cool.
Get inked and get your rock on.
Yeah.
What a combo.
That's awesome. Dude, Jim, I still got to get my tattoo, bro.
As do I.
Got to get our 40th anniversary Metallica tattoo. It'll be good. Dude, are we going to... Ooh, this is a good one. Jim, let's go ahead and stump us with trivia, bro.
Like I said before, it's pretty easy, but it's just a fun one, and it goes right into the misuse of the Lamb of God logo. Well, there's a video for a Lamb of God song, which basically plays on the same thing. A family orders a professional band for their daughter's birthday party, and Lamb of God shows up. Which song is that?
You know, it's so funny. I watched this video the other day, and it's so funny to see Randy walk out and he's bald.
Yeah,
because now he's got like, I think it's like 76 pounds of dreads hanging from his head. I don't know. I mean, I went on a date with somebody and she said that she used to have dreads, and that was the biggest thing, is that they just got so heavy. I mean, and you would tie them up all the time because they were just, and I'm like, yeah, I get it, but I don't know. And I learned something. I thought when you had dreads, like, the only way is to just shave them off, like shave your head. And she said, oh, no, you can actually go to professional places that you get them like undreaded. I no idea. So she cut like a whole bunch off, like a couple feet, but then the rest of it, they did some magic stuff to make them regular hair again. I don't know.
I thought that was all tangled up so much that they couldn't do that.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I'm not the best guy to ask. I'm just saying.
By the way, the name of the song was Redneck. I don't know if we said that.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes, Redneck.
I'm guessing we all know the name, that song. I'm going to go back to new releases for a second and go to a pre-release, because I see our friend Wyatt is in the chat. Of course, a drummer from Pursuit, who was on a few weeks ago, and they are this week or end of this week going into the studio to record their debut album.
So yes, dude, very, I saw that.
So looking forward to that, Wyatt. What's up? Yeah, Brett, you got a cool back in the day here.
Yeah, on April 24th, 1989, if any of you guys were born yet, not sure. There's a band called Blue Murder. And they released their debut album, and it consisted of three members: of John Sykes, Tony Franklin, and Carmen Appice. And there's kind of a story with John Sykes, why he started the band, and he was originally one of the founding members of Whitesnake, and him and David, what's his name?
Coverdale.
Yes, thank you. And they were recording their first album, and him and Coverdale got into a huge fight.
Huh.
And Adrian Vandenberg of the band Vandenberg at the time, they had flown him in to do some guitar work on it, which, kind of funny because John Sykes is a really good guitarist to begin with. I'm not sure why they had him come in for it, but they were outside of the recording room, and him and Coverdale just start going at it, and next thing you know, Sykes is out of the band, and Vandenberg takes over his duties. But on that first album, you can hear the style of Sykes playing all yeah. through that album. So it's funny that, you know, when you listen to Whitesnake, that first album, and then you listen to Blue Murder, you know, there's a lot of similarities through the guitar.
Really? That's yeah. that's crazy. Let's give this is Valley of the Kings. Those of you may recognize this back from 1989. Dude, that's so, it just brings back, now, I mean, not only from them and like watching them on MTV and stuff, but it's also so similar to some of the other stuff around the same time.
Yeah, you listen to Whitesnake and you know he played a huge role in all that first album. So it's a little fun bit of knowledge to know.
Yep, I remember Whitesnake. I didn't know of them until their self-titled came out with Still of the Night on it. You know, obviously yep. everyone knows Here I Come Again, right?
Yep.
But yeah, I remember I got the cassette, and I remember, like, you know, you got your headset on and you're like reading the lyrics in the liner card and shit.
Yep. I still got that on cassette.
Yep. And that was where I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. I mean, I had no idea they've been around for so many years prior, you know?
Yep. Yeah, but it's so interesting to hear, you know, that Adrian Vandenberg didn't come up with new stuff. It's just, it's so similar if you listen to them both.
That's crazy. Hey, speaking of other guitar players, this is totally off the thing, but speaking of other guitar players and going in the studio and doing stuff, I heard, and I haven't like confirmed this using like the Googles, but my cousin also mentioned to me that in Love Is for Suckers from Twisted Sister, they were in a rough spot at the time. And evidently, Reb Beach, who did Reb Beach play for? Do you remember?
Winger.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was like the studio musician. They had him play like all the guitar parts on the album.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I was told. So like
cool.
JJ and Eddie, I mean, they were still like in the band when they toured and stuff, but a lot of the recording was actually Reb Beach from Winger. I was like, what?
That's crazy. I actually just saw Reb Beach when Winger came through town with George Lynch.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He was George Lynch kind of stole the show, but you know, he's
George Lynch, dude. He is a silver fox now.
Oh,
he's got this silver mane that just,
yep. But man, he can just shred.
Yeah. Oh,
just awesome.
Totally.
That Reb Beach is good too.
Yep. Yep. Dude, that's so funny. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Jim, let's talk about our today in the day.
Bringing it back to today. Yes, a band that I saw perform and open for Ex Mortis and Venom Inc. back in 2018 from San Francisco, a band called Hatchet. Very thrashy. So they were formed in 2006, like I said, in San Francisco. They had two demos in 06 and 07, an EP just called Hatchet in 07, And then they have four full lengths: Awaiting Evil, Dawn of the Dead, Fear Beyond Lunacy, Dying to Exist.
Good album names.
Like, isn't very it crazy? Crashy. I know, right? Isn't it crazy that others can't, others just don't get it. They don't see the value in that. They don't see the talent. They don't see the, anyway.
Yeah, that the dueling guitars there, you know, comboed, and that drum fill was sick.
Yep. Good stuff, man. Thanks for bringing that back, dude. That's awesome. Hatchet's a good one.
Good.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, you know what? That's going to just about wrap us up for this episode of the Thrash Report. We want to first thank our guest, Brett Schomburg. Brett, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. You're welcome back anytime. Super fun to have another metalhead to jam with.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
And we'll see you at another show, man. Did you get tickets for Anthrax yet?
No. Where is it? Did I Fillmore. Read it? Is that the Fillmore?
It is at the Fillmore, yep.
Yeah, I'll have to do that because that's a good lineup.
But, well, we'll see you at another show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And
our paths will cross.
That's right, our paths will cross. And then
Jessica Rave is in the audience here, too. She says, good to see you, Brett.
Nice.
How you doing, Jess?
Nice. Nice to see you. Want to thank everybody. Thanks again for live streaming with us, man. That's so awesome. I want to thank everyone for listening, everyone for following us on your podcast platform of choice. We really do encourage you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you can, we would greatly appreciate that. And you can find archives of all of our past shows at thrashreport.com. You can find all of our socials at thrashreport.com. We look forward to seeing you out at a show, and we'll see you next time on the Thrash Report. See ya.
See ya.